Father, on this very first Sunday of 2018, if there's ever been a moment that I come humbly before you, it is for this service. I approach you with wonder and with awe. I say, Lord, I would be honest to say this morning, I am trembling before you for the word that you have given for this year. Somehow, some way, as you always do, Lord God, I pray that the boldness of your Spirit fill me to overflowing. I see nothing but your glory. I hear nothing but your word. I fear absolutely nothing but the living God. I pray that every heart and every ear be open to the word that you have given unto me for 2018. We pray for those, Lord, who have been so ill with this horrible flu and influenza, whatever it is that's going through the church and through our state and even the nation, Lord, comfort those, be with those that are so ill even today. I know many. And Lord, especially for Erlina, they're in the hospital, comfort her and bless her as well. And Father, above all things, bless your word this morning that you have exalted above your very name, and may the sheep of your pasture, those listening live, those that are visiting with us, and those that call Calvary their home, may their hearts and their ears be open to your word. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say, amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles this morning with me, and we won't be there long, into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to see the text as I read it to you in just a moment. 2017, the year of passionate, persistent, fervent prayer has passed into 2018. But our prayer time hasn't, amen? We're still going to be passionate about our prayer time. This morning, if you're visiting with us, we're so glad to have you, but listen carefully. This morning is a family thing. This is a specific word. Every year, as long as I have been a believer, over 40 years, I've always prayed for a word for the year, for me, my family, or whatever. And then, of course, many years ago when I started pastoring, this just transferred into the Lord gave the word for the church. And so every year we have a specific word that has birthed through prayer. So this morning, this specific word is for a specific part of the body of Christ, and that specific part is Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. Now listen, it's important this morning for you to understand, in this message, I am not defining what I'm about to say. I am only declaring it to you, and I pray that you receive it into your heart. I certainly am not a prophet. I have never been a prophet. I don't consider myself a prophet, but yet here I am. I'm speaking about things future for this fellowship. I feel like Peter whenever the Lord called him out of the boat and said, Peter, come out with me. And I tell you, sometimes I feel like I'd rather stay in the boat, if you know what I mean. Every year, here we are, I'm so thankful that here, 25 years we've been celebrating the faithfulness of God. And you know, here I am in 2018, and you know what? I look at everything and all that God is doing, and I must be honest and tell you that I have never labored in prayer over a message as I have in this one. Nor have I struggled in prayer over such a message that I'm about to bring this morning. You know, in 34 years of preaching the gospel, I have never once asked the Lord in prayer not to teach a message. This was the only time ever in my ministry that I asked the Lord, Lord, let me pass this by. I'm not receiving it. I don't understand everything. I have to understand with security in my heart before I stand before God's people. Do you understand? And so with all that being said, the first time in 25 years of preaching a New Year's sermon to this body here, I have never once told a soul what I was going to teach, except my wife. And I have never consulted with the church board ever on a word. They heard it just like you hear it right now. But on December the 13th, I did call a board meeting. I laid out all that God had done, and I said, now you either tell me that you are in agreement or I'm out of my mind. Well, thank God they said that I was out of my mind. So that clarifies it. Now, with all that being said, I hope you're at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, as I read this to you on our New Year's sermon. Paul writes, and he says to the church at Thessalonica, "For this reason also we thank God without ceasing, because when you," what? Receive. Say it again. Receive, that means welcome. That word actually means in the hearing of your ear, okay? That you received, and look what you welcomed in the hearing of your ear, the word of God, which you heard from us. But look at this one. But you welcomed it. That word means to receive into your heart, not into your ear. You heard it, and then it went into their heart, not as the word of man. And that's this morning. This is not my word. Amen? No, listen to me. Paul said, this is not from me, not as a word from men. He said, listen, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Today is God's word for us for 2018, which also, he said, effectively works in you who believe. That verse is so pregnant with meaning. You know, over the years, it's so easy. Pastors, you know, they can't really see out here, and they don't focus on faces because you're preaching. You don't even think about it. But sometimes you'll know right in the beginning of a service, the text is given. This is what we're preaching on today. And unfortunately, through the years, you'll see people go, you know what? They pull their Bibles and they leave. That's okay. It doesn't bother me. But the problem with that is that they're saying to themselves, well, you know what? I wanted to hear something else and I don't really like the text. How you listen to the word of God, how you listen to a sermon is so important. In other words, see, people come hearing the word of God for the hurting. If you're hurting, you know what you're wanting this morning? Bill, I need something that's going to bring comfort to my heart. If you're discouraged, you're saying, Bill, I hope this morning there's something here that's going to encourage me. If your marriage is on the rocks, you're looking, say, maybe this morning Bill is going to talk, the Lord led him to talk something about how to put my marriage back together. Some come just because they're curious about the messenger more than they're curious about the message that's being delivered. Carefully listen to me now. This morning, if there has ever been a day, this first Sunday of 2018, this is not a moment to be a careless hearer of the word of God. This is God's word to us, Calvary Chapel, for 2018. In the parable that Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower, how the seed, which is the word of God, fell on good soil and hard soil and all the rest of the shallow soil, all, you know the parable. And Jesus said something in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 23, after he finished the parable, and this is a good word to us right now. If any man hears, has ears to hear. Reach up there. Do you have anything there? Okay, if you do, Jesus said, let him hear. And then Jesus said to them, take heed, be careful, be wise, take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear more, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Church, listen. I pray this morning that your ears are open, your heart is ready, no matter what I'm about to say, that you don't shut down. Maybe, don't let anything, don't let the devil, don't let your flesh, the moment you understand my text, don't shut down as the church always does about the text I'm about to bring forth. Whatever you do, don't do it in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, with all that being said, turn with me to the very last book of the Old Testament. Oh, I heard a groan already. Yes, Malachi. The word Malachi, we don't know anything about him. He's just, the word means messenger. He's a messenger of God to the people of Judah that are prospering like never before, yet they're so backslidden, it is unbelievable. And here comes Malachi, the messenger of God, the prophet in the days of Nehemiah. Look at Malachi 1:10 for a moment. I'll be there just a moment. Now, in the book of Malachi, this we call it the minor prophets. They're not minor because he's not a great prophet. It's because it's just a short little book. But we have a series of questions. And after these questions in chapter 4, there's going to be 400 years of silence before a word comes forth into what we call the New Testament. Now, there's a series of questions and answers from Judah to God, God to Judah, in these verses, which reveal Judah's true spiritual condition. Number one, they were doubting that God even truly loved him. They were divorcing their wives and marrying foreign women or pagan women outside of the covenant. Not only that, their worship was nothing but lip service, and their priests were just highly corrupt. Not only that, they despised God's name, if you study out the four chapters, and they despised God's name by bringing to his altar the lame and the sick and the diseased and the blind animals. In other words, instead of giving God best to him, they were giving God leftovers, okay? So things were so bad, the children of Israel, if you read the whole thing, you'll find out that they even said, what profit is it for us to even serve God? It's nothing more than a waste of time. It is useless. Things were so horrible that God said, you know what? If there is anyone who has any spirituality at all, I want you to do what God said in verse 10 of chapter 1 that I'm about to read to you. He says, who is there even among you, God says, who can shut the doors, meaning to shut the doors of the temple, so that you would not even light a fire on my altar in vain? Now look what God says. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Listen. God said, if you have anything going for you, if you can hear my word, go lock up the temple. I don't even want you coming in there. I close the doors, you priests and you people, because the way that you worship me is absolutely horrible. God says, I don't have any pleasure in what you're doing. Everything that you do for me, those who say you love me, is horrible. And then I want you to go, and may I say something? That's old covenant or new covenant, amen? To play church or give lip service to God is sin. Amen? Okay. Are you shutting down yet? Don't shut down. You'll miss it. You'll miss the word for 2018 if you shut down. You'll totally blow it. Don't do that. I love you. Okay? I don't know if God loves, but I do. You know I'm teasing. Thank you. Go to verse 7, Malachi chapter 3. God says in there, he's telling them, he's pleading with the people. Malachi chapter 3, I know you're there, verse 7. He says, listen, I want you to return to me. He says, listen, and I'll return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But look what he says, but you said, God says, I want you to come home, come back to me. But look what Israel said, in what way shall we return? Now look at the answer God gave them in verse 8. Will a man what? Say it loud, it's okay. Yes, will a man rob God? That word rob means, will you take by force what belongs to God? Will man, meaning a mere creature, a human being, Almighty God, will you rob me? But yet, look what God's telling Israel, not us, Israel, but you've robbed me. But you say, here comes Judah, but you say, well, in what way have we robbed you? And look what God says, in tithes and offerings. God says, you know what? You're just a bunch of God robbers. I've given you everything. You don't give me anything back that belongs to me. You know, the people said, well, give us some proof. And what did God say? Immediately, he says, you have robbed me in tithes, offerings, plural. Okay? That's what the Lord just said. Now, then he goes on. It gets better. Watch this. And you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, the whole nation of Judah. I mean, what a word from Almighty God. You are cursed. And he tells us why. We've already read it. He says, because you have robbed me. In other words, that tells us what they gave to God and what they did not give to God and what we give to God and what we do not give to God. God knows, God sees, amen? Jesus, there at the treasury when the widow gave just a little mite, 1/8 of a penny, she said, oh, Jesus said, oh, look, she's given all of her livelihood. She's cast in everything that she has. God sees what every person gives that belongs to him. And look what he says, bring all, meaning the whole tithe, into the storehouse, and he tells us why, that there may be what? Food in my house. The temple is God's house. Now, the storehouse was located in the temple proper, and those were rooms that were set aside whenever the children of Israel, they would tithe their grain, their wheat, their olive oil, and the rest of it. They would, and that's where they would store all of those things, the wine and the rest of it. So the tithe, as we know, is what we call a tenth, if you will. And there were three tithes that Israel gave one every 3 years and two every year, and they put them in the storehouse so people would have what they needed. Now, with all that being said, let me read a couple of scriptures of what they had to give. It says in Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe, this is the law of Moses, not grace, okay? All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land, the fruit of the trees, it belongs to the Lord. It is holy. It is set apart. It is sanctified. It's for the Lord. Now, the land was speaking then of the land of Canaan, of course, that God had given to the people of Israel. But really, the land, if you study out the Bible, the land belonged to God, and the people, the children of Israel who were on the land, they were only tenants. Amen? And God said, now I've placed you as stewards over all the land of Canaan, a fruitful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he says, listen, the way that they treated God as stewards over what had given unto them showed their love for God. It proved their love for God, their dependence upon God, and their gratitude toward him. Yes, this is the law of Moses. We're not Jews, so bear with me. Don't fall apart. Amen? Okay, I knew you were getting happy now, right? Okay, now, but the law was required by God. Leviticus 27:32, and concerning the tithe of the herd, of the flock, whatever passes under the rod, meaning the sheep, the lamb, the goat, whatever, 1/10 shall be holy or set apart or given unto God. And then on the third year, there was a great tithe that was given. It says in Deuteronomy 14:28, every third year you'll bring a tithe of your produce that year and going to store it up within your gates. Now listen carefully. And the Levite, those are the ones, the priest who worked in the temple, the Levite, it says, and the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied. Then it tells us why, that the Lord your God may bless you in all of the work of the hand which you do. We do something very similar here. Every third Sunday is called Love Never Fails Sunday. What do? We take up an offering, not for us, but for our children, the stranger, those that we don't know. Amen. Yes, Proverbs 19:17, he who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. You see, not to give is really costly. Amen? Now, look at verse 10 again. Now, look at these words. And God says, try me, or literally, prove me. Can you believe that? God says, prove me or test me now in this. In what? Well, in what we're getting ready to read about the tithes and the offerings. Listen, and then he says, the Lord of what? Host, the God's army who he commands over all creation. Now listen, that is a command from God. He says to the children of Judah, he says, listen to me, the Lord's command, you prove me. What a word. You prove me right now. You know what that word test or prove or try means? It means the process of proving someone's worth. In this case, it would be Almighty God. Can you believe that God gave Judah this unbelievable, incredible command and opportunity? Prove me now. And by doing so, by just bringing tithes and offerings back to the storehouse. And then God tells him what he will do. Look at it. And I will what? Open. I will open for you the windows of heaven. That is a divine promise from God, loved one. The word there, windows of heaven, literally, first of all, it says open them. That means that the windows of heaven upon Judah is closed, first of all. But this word there means literally the floodgates. You remember in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, when it says, and the windows of heaven, meaning the rain was open. That is the exact same word that God is using here, meaning an unbelievable, when he says, I'm going to pour a deluge out upon you if you will prove me right now. And then he says, look at this promise, and pour out for you. Now watch this, not a blessing, but look at the word. Every word is important. But such a blessing, or such blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Look up that word room in Hebrew, and it means absolutely measureless. It means a blessing that cannot, will not ever be measured by you. In other words, God says, I'll open up a window of heaven, and man, I am going to pour a deluge upon you. And not only that, I will rebuke the devourer, meaning the locusts, the insects. They were farm people, remember, for you, for your sakes, and so that he will not destroy, watch this, the fruit of your ground, nor the vine shall fail to bear fruit, saith the Lord of hosts. So again, a divine promise. I will restrain. I will rebuke what? Whatever is stealing your income, your livelihood, so you cannot provide for your families or for other people, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. Listen, the devourer here is a picture of the New Testament devourer. And who is that? The devil. 1 Peter 5:8. Remember? Listen, what does it say? It says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, roameth around, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, that's a military term, resist him steadfast, tells us how, in the faith, lifting up the shield of faith. You quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen? Now, watch this now. And then it says about Judah, Israel, and all nations will call you blessed. You're going to be the envy of all the nations of the world. And for you will be a delightful or a fruitful land, saith the Lord of hosts, which is the result of God opening, of course, the floodgates of heaven, the blessings upon it. Now, today, let's look at it this way. All nations have never, ever, ever since this moment called Israel blessed. This will not be fulfilled, as we know, until the coming of Christ in the millennial reign. But I do know this. This promise to Israel is for any nation. How do I know that? Because blessed is whose nation is the Lord's. Amen? Blessed is that nation. Listen, when a nation loves the Lord and turns to Christ, man, that nation is blessed. Amen? The people are blessed. Now, you're probably saying by now, Bill, this is old covenant talk. Well, I know, but it's in the Bible, isn't it? You're probably saying, well, thank you so much for painting me from God's word an unbelievable, insignificant look at a greedy person who would rob God. Who would ever do something like that? We're New Testament people. We would never take anything that belongs to God. Amen? Bill, I'm not under the law. Of course we're not under the law. Now listen, you can relax. Didn't we already take an offering? Okay, you can relax. I'm not taking up any money. What's wrong with you guys? You better relax or you're going to miss it. Are you with me? Okay, three of you. That's good. No, we're not under the law of Moses. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, but we're under grace. Listen, if we were Jewish, we could eat pork now. We could have a bacon, a lettuce, tomato, bacon sandwich, couldn't we? Huh? Absolutely. You know, they're crispy bacon. Isn't that good? But we weren't Jews, so we've been eating like that anyway. But see, we're not even Israel. And so this promise, well, was it given to Israel? Yeah, it certainly was. And, you know, it talks in there, Bill, you know, you said about you're cursed with a curse because you're not doing what God has required you to do. And I'm not cursed. Of course you're not cursed. We're not under the law. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay. He's redeemed us. We're a purchased possession with the Lord. The law always condemned. The law always pointed the finger. Amen? No, our position, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you're truly born again, our position in Christ is absolutely perfect. I didn't say our walk. I said our position. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment. Our sins are washed away. To those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But look one more time, if you have the nerve, at verse 8 with me. It says, will a man, a mere mortal again, will he take by force or rob the things that belong to God? God says, but you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God says, well, you did so in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me. Even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house, and prove me, test me, try me. Now in this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I want you to listen to me very carefully now. The theme of verse 10, if you are a diligent student of the Bible, you'll know the theme of verse 10. The theme, loved one, of verse 10 is not on the tithe. Did you know that? But it is certainly included in the theme, amen? But that is not the theme of verse 10. The theme in verse 10 is upon the incredible, unbelievable grace and the faithfulness of Almighty God to a people that were totally backslidden. God's faithfulness is to all generations. Amen. God says in this word, he says, prove me. And then he tells us and them when to prove him. Now, today. You see, you know, the scripture says, for example, in Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that a true word? Is that a promise from God? But that promise cannot be proven. It cannot happen. You can't prove it at all unless a person truly calls upon the name of the Lord. Does that make sense? So you have to prove God. God says, seek me early and you shall find me when you seek me diligently with all of your heart. That's a promise from God, but to prove that, you have to do something. Does that make sense? You see, we have the promise, but okay, God says, but you got prove me now. Start seeking me. Get into prayer. Do whatever you need to do. But I promise you, God says, you prove me and I'll prove myself to you right now. Verse 10 is a promise to be proved, and you and they cannot prove God until all the tithes, offerings are brought into the God storehouse. There would be the temple. This one would be the church, of course. He says, prove me now. If you believe, that is, that I am worthy to be trusted. Now, Bill, you're saying again, you're putting me under the law. And I don't like it. I'm not cursed with a curse. I'm not under the law. Whether I tithe, whether I give my free will offerings, or whether I never give God a dime, I am not cursed. Of course you're not. Are you? Did you know that if you study out Malachi 3:10, if you have a center reference column, and if you looked up the scripture that is an identical reference to the scripture I'm reading to you this morning, it will take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, that says this, but this I say, that he who sows, we're talking about giving unto God freely, however you want to call it. You don't have to call it a tithe. You can say, this is what I'm giving today. It says, he who sows sparingly, here's a promise, you can't change it, sows sparingly or reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This teaches us that New Testament giving, there is only two provisions available for the believer. You're either living in the sparingly or you're in the bountifully. That's the only two places you can be. Okay, now listen. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 6:38? Given should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, men running over, put into your bosom, and with the same measure that you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. The law of reaping and sowing, you can't get away from it. It is a universal spiritual law in the Word of God. And then he goes on, of course, Paul in Corinthians, and he talks about how God loves a cheerful giver. He says, don't give grudgingly. If you don't want to give to God, leave me alone. Amen? All right, now listen carefully. But the fact of the matter is that so many are suffering because they don't get in on God's economic plan. They don't do what God says. They don't support anything that God does. And they're hurting. They are hurting. I deal with it every day. Now listen, God has a word for this church in 2018. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:5, it says, hear the word of the Lord. Here it comes. You who tremble at his word. You know, the demons tremble. They believe that there's only one God and they tremble. But that's only intellectual faith. They don't ever obey God. They know the Bible better than we do, but yet they don't obey. No, listen, Bible, God says in his word in Isaiah 66:1, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build for me, and where is the place of my rest? Listen carefully now. For all those things my hand has made, all the things, God says, that exist, the universe, the stars, the suns, and the moon. Now listen to what God says. But on this one, I will set my gaze. The one who trembles at my word. Why? Because what God promises, he cannot lie. Amen? And I look, I say, oh, Lord. May I ask you a question as a pastor, but not as a pastor right now, but as your brother. Why is it today, and I've watched it now for over 40 years, why is it today that the word tithe, time to take up an offering, why does that one word so bother the church, bother so many Christians? And you say, well, because it puts me under the law, makes me feel guilty. And I say, well, I'm not making you feel guilty. It's God's word is making you feel guilty. Well, I'm under grace, Bill. I'm not under the law. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're not under the law, are you not under thou shalt not kill? Or thou shalt not steal? Thou shalt not commit adultery? Are you under those? You don't have to obey the moral laws? You are out from under the dietary laws of the law of Moses and all the washings and all the rest of those things. Man, we're under grace. But listen to me carefully. This is only part one. Part two is worse. No. Do you know and understand that word that so many believers just shake over and tremble over? Do you know that it did not originate, the word tithe did not originate in the law of Moses? It didn't originate there at all. It originated all the way back in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, when Abraham, after the battle, remember, saving Lot, what did he do? He met Melchizedek. And who was that? I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had the bread and the wine, remember? And what did Abraham give him? He gave him of the spoils from the army, when they went out and captured Lot. The spoils are a tithe of all. That's the first mention of the tithe. It goes 430 years before the law of Moses even came about. Listen to me. Tithing, that word that so many people despise today, it precedes the law, and it was neither instituted by the law nor terminated by grace. It went through the cross, loved one. Jesus even commended tithing in Matthew 23:23. And if you really want to know who we give to, which I'll talk about maybe next week, the Lord willing, and why this is all happening, in Hebrews chapter 7. Now listen very, very carefully again. Do you really believe, loved one? I'm not trying to convince you. I'm teaching God's word. I'm not trying to convince you at all. Do you really believe that when Christ came, that he lowered the standard of giving? Do you think on the day of Pentecost, it was Jews were saved on the day of Pentecost, not the Gentiles. They were Jews, and 3,000 people came to the Lord. Do you think that they started shouting, oh, we're not under the law anymore. We don't have to give 10%. Let's go get some pork chops and party. Do you think they did that? No. Man, they knew how to give to God. Matter of fact, read what they did in Acts chapter 4 when all the tons of stuff that they laid at the apostles' feet. Oh, no. Now, listen to me. If you're visiting with me, you're going, okay, here's the beggar, typical church. And I'm not saying you're saying that, but if you are, don't, because you don't know me. But this church knows me. They know that I have never in 25 years begged for one penny. They also know something else. I have never in 25 years made you feel, or if I never was my purpose to make you feel guilty. But I very rarely, have you ever seen me come up and say, okay, it's offering time, hallelujah, and read 4,000 scriptures before you give. Make you run down here and put it into a box so everybody can see it. Wave it over, oh, hallelujah. No, I don't even talk about it. I never talk about giving unless it comes into the text because I teach through the Word of God, or unless the Holy Spirit says, Bill, you need to talk about it. Do you understand me? You who know me, you know that's how I am. Now listen, how can I turn the word tithe, free will offering, whatever you want to call it, how can I turn the word tithe from a negative word in some of your hearts, not all of your hearts, of course, but the ones that are not giving, not tithing, not trusting God. How can I turn that word tithe from a negative into a positive word for you? How can I turn this word into an incredible word in your heart and in your mind? Loved one, let me ask you a question. What was the Old Testament tithe for? What was it for? We just read it. God says, so there'll be food in my house. Is God hungry? No. Who was the food for? For the widow, for the orphan, for the stranger, for the Levite, for the kingdom of God, to build the kingdom of God. Amen? Am I right or wrong? Okay. Now listen, did you know that the same commands are right there in the New Testament? It hasn't changed. The love of God hasn't changed from the old to the new. It says in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this. Here it is. To visit orphans. That word visit means to go visit them, not to say hello, but in order to help them. Amen. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want you to, it's going to hurt you to do this. Some of you. But would you humor this old pastor just today? I want you to say this with me. Tithe is a beautiful word. Let's say it. Tithe is a beautiful word. Amen? Boy, what a wonderful word. Did you hear? Are you applauding? Oh, hallelujah. What a church. Don't tell the second service. When you give to the Lord. And you know what? You know why tithe is a beautiful word? Is because what the tithe turns into when you give to the Lord. Here's what happens. It means you love. But it means that you're loving other people. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:17, whoever has this world's goods, in other words, money, it says, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, slams the door of your heart shut. How does the love of God abide in that person? You know, that's what the word teaches. Listen to me. You see this right here? This tithe offerings. You say, well, I practice. I give my wife and I give a tithe and an offering and an extra offering once a month to the church, and a tithe and an offering, because I believe in tithes and offerings, every Sunday, way, way above 10%. You understand me? Now, Bill, are you bragging? No, I'm just letting you know that this is just not something for me. I'm not even trying to get your money. That's crazy. We're doing great, aren't we? That's what this represents. Look, you know, when you look at your tithe, what do you see? When I look at my tithes, it's so automatic. It's so automatic, giving to God. Listen, when I look at my tithe, I say, oh, this is here. It feeds those sometimes that they have no food. This, here it is. I look at that, gives hope to the hopeless. It sends our mission teams out into Mexico. Oh, I look at the tithe and I say, oh, Lord, they preach the good news. This offering, free will offering, you know what this means to me? Does it mean that to you? I see that tithe is such a beautiful word, and I go, oh, Lord, this right here means salvation to the lost. It means that there are people that are being saved from eternal hell. It means that people are listening to the 20 radio stations that should be 40 radio stations across the nation. That's what this is. This is God. This is for the kingdom. I said, oh God, look at this offering. It's a beautiful word. It supports the work of the kingdom of God for the glory of God to send the gospel all over the world. I look and I say, oh Lord, may the people of this church look at these tithes and look at their offerings. You know what it means when you look at them? And here they are. They hold in their hand. It means this. It gives the children that we support a warm home. It gives them a warm bed. It gives them a full stomach. It gives them a real life with real hope. Do you understand? And when I look at my tithe, I say, oh God, it builds homes for people in Mexico who doesn't have any home. It does the work of the ministry here, which I'm slowing down. Why is it my wife, she was talking to me last night because she knew how troubled I was on delivering this message. Because I'm out of my calling, you know that, about talking about money, because I don't ever do it. I don't like to do it, but I want to be obedient. I fear God more than I fear anybody else. But we were talking and she said, why is it today that Christians settle for so much less when we have the promises of God and the church settles for the promises of this world? And I said, oh, honey, that is a good word. You know, here we are, we think, okay, I'm going to fill my bank account and I'm going to think that I'm safe, you know, and yet, you know what, you're poor. I want you to, when you later on, read Haggai chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You know what God says? You know what? The temple's in ruins, your house is, boy, you're building beautiful homes and you got it made. And you know what? You have holes in your pocket and all your money is going, you make all this money and it falls right through your pocket. You have buy all this stuff to keep warm and you're never warm. And God goes, consider your ways. When you look at the tithe, people who hold on to something and then they lose what God has for them. Jesus said if you want to find your life, you have to lose your life, meaning give it to the Lord. Loved one, listen to me. Look at the tithe records I've been informed. They said that they mailed them out. Won't you look at them and see if you're giving to God? I'm challenging you. God said, prove me now. You know, see if you're doing anything. Now listen, God said, prove me now. I'm going to ask you a question. Does that move you? Well, Bill, it was given to them. It doesn't matter. Does it make your heart tremble? Because the Bible says in Numbers that God is a man and that he cannot lie. I want you to listen to me now. Tithe is a beautiful word. You see, I wasn't going to preach this word. It was late November when the Lord, in my prayer time, spoke this word to my heart. And I just went, oh gosh, you've got to be kidding. I'm being honest with you. And I was praying about it. Lord, I said, it's old covenant, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, Lord, I had too much pizza? Am I getting old? Am I getting senile? Has the cheese slid off the cracker? I mean, I went through all the motions, you know. And then Thursday, December the 7th, was my day off. That's my only day off, Thursday. And I schedule, if I have anything going on at the home, my house, then I schedule, like, say, if the AC's out or whatever. Well, we had a plumbing issue that needed to be taken care of, and so the plumber was scheduled to come by on Thursday. And so he calls me, and he says, Bill, I'm so sorry, man. I have an emergency in Arlington. The house is flooding. I cannot come to your house today. And I said, then we'll have to, I guess, next week. He says, I'm booked. He said, tomorrow is going to be the only day I can come. I said, well, that's Friday, and Friday is that is the most important day for me, because that's when I get alone, I shut my door, I am preparing my outline. Lord, where do I go on Sunday? Are you following me? Now, with all that being said, that morning, Friday morning, that would be December the 8th, okay? early in my prayer time. I was up at 3:30 a.m. that morning, and I was praying, and here's what I was doing. I said, Lord, I just don't understand the message. And I was asking God, I said, please forgive me, but I want to be disobedient and not share this message with the church. I just, not because I'm afraid, it's just because I don't get it. I don't get it, Lord. So I said to the Lord in prayer, you said, prove me now. The morning of the 8th, December the 8th, Friday. I said, please show me. Please prove to me that this is your word for Calvary Chapel Fort Worth for 2018. I finished my prayer time. I am never, ever, it has to be a miracle for me to be home on Friday mornings. I'm sitting there. I am waiting for the plumber. My cell phone goes off, and a dear friend is on the other line and says, hey, Bill, are you by chance at home? And I said, well, yeah. Hello? How did they know that, you know? I said, yes, I am. I said, may I come over right now? And so, now, this is what I said to me, not to him, to the person, my friend. I said to myself, okay, I'm waiting on a plumber. I got somebody who wants to drop over, probably needs counseling for 3 hours or something. I'm being honest. I got to get to the office. And I was just going, oh, man, I was so frustrated. And I said, oh, you bet. Come on over, you know. I love you. Praise the Lord, you know. And so I open the door, and my friend walks in, and they said to me, I have never had such joy. I feel like weeping before God. I am so joyful in my heart. And I said, why? What's going on? And he said to me, they said, listen, because of what I'm about to do, what I'm about to give. And so my friend handed me an envelope for an offering for this church. He said, open it. I put it over the side. I said, I don't look at what people give. Open it. I said, all right, I look. A check for $25,000. No. There's a check for $50,000. No. There was a check for $75,000. No. There was a check for $100,000. No. There was a check for over $200,000 given on that morning. Are you listening to me? Now you say, Bill, what? You don't understand. Immediately, I know that when I say what I'm about to say, people think, Bill, God doesn't talk. Yes, he does. Immediately when I realized what my friend had given, as I looked at my friend, in my spirit, in my heart, the Holy Spirit said this to me. I wrote it down just like I'm reading it like in my journal that I have that I keep. The Holy Spirit said to my heart, the windows of heaven, Bill, open for you in this church the very day that I spoke it to your heart in November. And it was birthed because you were obedient, telling the people in 2017 that it must be the passionate, fervent, persistent year of prayer, because the prayer that we do on Saturday and the other people that were praying, he said, birthed what happens in 2018. It was because of the prayer the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Now listen to me. Then I realized that I had the plumber had to cancel on Thursday. Are you with me? He had to cancel on Thursday. I had to be there on Friday. Why? So the Lord could do what he did. Why did he do it? 2018, the year of God's command, where God says, prove me now. 2018 is our season, and the season is today. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says again, you bring all this stuff into my house, the tithes, the offerings, you prove me now. And he says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, that there'll be not room enough to receive. One more thing. And then the Spirit of the Lord, when that person, after I prayed and they left, the next day, Rebecca and I sat down on the same couch in our living room that this church was started on and prayed over that offering and for the person who was obedient to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, listen, what I am doing in 2018 for this body is for 2019. What does that mean? I don't have a clue. Are you listening to me? God says, prove me now. He has opened the windows of heaven upon this church for a divine purpose. I do not know how to define it, but I want you to know that I believe it. God has given a window for Calvary. And only you can keep it open. Only you. Father, I thank you that I have been faithful to deliver the word of God that you gave me. I leave it with the sheep of your pasture. Lord God, I thank you for the incredible, unbelievable blessing that you have poured out upon this fellowship. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen.